time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outloud. As I was coming into the news cycle this particular week for Viewpoint, I was tired of the same old topics, people. I don't know about you, but it really starts to build on you after a while. And, you know, how many times a week can you talk about Mueller or the corruption or the discourse or the, you know, the negative tones that are all over our country and all over our, certainly our political atmosphere? And it impacts our lives in many ways. And it became obvious to me that we have some real problems in this country. I've been talking about these problems now to you for some time on Viewpoint and on The Voice of a Nation. And I think that I've come to a point where I've started to talk about this political entertainment, because that's what I really think this has all become. You know, I think back to when I got into radio. I want to share something with you. My manager at the time in the radio business now was a gentleman who had discovered some really interesting radio figures, some really interesting people. You would know the names across the country. And I was having dinner with him one time, and we were talking about, as I was just making the conversion into radio from the marketing world. And, you know, I had suggested to him I wanted to make a difference in the world, wanted to do something unique with our voice and with our, this was now way before America Out Loud, keep in mind, okay, a few years before that, in fact. And I remember that dinner, and I didn't know this man real well at the time, but I made this big case of how I wanted to save the world, you know, how I was going to do wonderful things in radio and so on and so forth. And I thought that was really the premise of why one might do this business, having left the corporate boardrooms, keep in mind, you know. And so he kind of looks at me and he kind of has an unusual look on his face and he says, "Please, Malcolm, I mean, come on," he said. "This business is about entertainment. If you want to save the world, go do it on your time somewhere," he said. "We're about entertaining people." And I thought to myself, what a jackass, you know. And that was my initial reaction of the man. Of course, you know, I realized as well I probably needed him to make a stand or do something in the business. You know how that works, people, right? But that kind of thought entered my mind, and I thought, well, I guess maybe he has something. He certainly knows the business. So you have to entertain more than, you can't really come into this thing wanting to save the world. Okay, well, there's the first lesson in this radio business, or and really this is any multimedia program. That's why you get all these crazy people on YouTube and you get all this stuff, because they want to entertain people. People want to be entertained, actually. That's typically why they come back. I mean, if you're boring and it's just all about watching paint dry, or you get onto some boring political figure, you're not going to really be enthused to come back, probably. So hence, that's where entertainment comes from in all of this. Instead of political, how about polytainment? Polytainment. Maybe that's what we should call this business. Polytainment. So you don't get politics, you don't get entertainment, you just get polytainment. So it's politics and news. I, for one, I don't know about you, I get tired of it. I get tired of the same old rhetoric. I get tired of talking about Mueller. I get tired of talking about Chuckie Schumer and the Pelosi people and, you know, Mitch McConnell and all the goofballs in Washington. And how bad they are and how corrupt the system is. I get tired of it. And eventually it wears on me to a point. And I think it probably wears on you as well, I'm thinking, because you got to be thinking the same thing. And then I question this, people. How is all this impacting our lives? What do our kids think of all this nonsense? Where are we going in the country? And are we really at this precarious time, or is this just another time and place for us, you know? I've been pondering that a lot, actually, in the new cycle here, as I feel it's become really, really toxic, hazardous to our lives, our well-being, our attitudes. It kind of creeps into your every moment of life, you know, and then where are we then, people? So we're going to have a different viewpoint today, a little bit different. I want to cover some interesting topics with you. I want to talk about the news, but I want to start in talking about the cycle of news, and I want to do it with three terrific people, three friends of the platform, three voices you know, and people that are very associated with America Out Loud, and they are Ava Armstrong, Jim McKay, and Arnetta Notkin. And I'd like to start here, and So I've been thinking about this, guys, as we open this up a little bit here, about the news cycle. And I think you'd all know me enough to know how frustrated I get with the news. You've been listening to me now for a few years when we get on these production meetings and producer kind of things. And, you know, I get so tired of the political class and the baloney on both sides of the aisle. And there are times I want to rock the canoe because, again, I want to fix things, people. I want to try to make it right. If we can make it right, let's make it right. So I've been thinking about that a lot. And I want to ask you, Jim, let's put you right on the spot there, okay, and do this. A simple question, but and I want to ask all of you this. Over the course of your lifetime, how do you rate the current snapshot of where we sit right at this very moment in time? How do you rate it?
I think we're doing very well as a economy, as a nation in terms of tolerance of people, human rights and such. I think as a nation that is informed, I think that's where we're failing at this time. A lot of, as they would say, fake news, misinformation. I think we're not educating our people with facts and information, but more like propaganda and noise.
Propaganda noise. Abo, how about yourself? Let me rephrase this so you understand the question. Over the course of your lifetime now, think about in those terms, how do you rate the current snapshot of where we sit, America sits, right at this very moment?
Well, I think we're at a dangerous point, like you spoke about. We do have news that is not really real. It's sort of like the National Enquirer is now better than CNN. This is what we've come to. So I think I look upon this, I'm a major capitalist. So I always look upon things that are gloomy. I give them a sunny outlook because out of the ashes will things like America Out Loud are being born. And, you know, this platform is fantastic. It's free speech. It's, you know, real news with real facts and figures and time frames, and you know, we're doing something here that's very cutting edge, I think.
Yeah, it's different than what I find out there, and that's my sense of it as well. Arnetta, as a newer voice to the platform, again, big question there, but the current snapshot, and we've done a lot of talking on this, where do we sit right now at this moment?
Well, Malcolm, that's a very interesting question. I had a discussion the other night with a woman that is, let me qualify, much older than I am. And she said that she's lived through what the country at the time thought that our country was the most divided in history, that we wouldn't survive. She's been through this, she told me, many times. And it made me really stop and think about where exactly are we? And are my concerns, because I'm more informed than I have been in the past, where I trusted the media, I trusted the government, I trusted, you know, the people who I had respected and admired. I don't have a clear answer on it. I do believe that we are in very perilous times and probably closer than ever before. And that includes when we've been at war with other countries. I'm talking about the country itself, our country, perhaps destroying itself within. And I do my own research. I didn't do that before. I woke up and I realized that I wasn't being told the truth. We're going to be challenged, and we better live up to the challenge that we've had in the past.
Yeah. You know, Arnetta, I've been questioning in my mind, based on what you say there, I really have been questioning if we are at end times in our lives, if we're living, again, I always talk about these historical times and these moments. And I think about it in the terms of where America is going to be 50 years from now. Now, if you all think of that question and you really ponder it and think about it, that makes you understand how precarious we are right now at this moment of time. And it's when you do all the math, and I'm talking about real math here, when you start to add it all up and you see. So this political entertainment game that is being played by the elites, I think, is a game of Russian suicide. You know, I think it's really challenging, and it's most detrimental to our health and our well-being. And, you know, it's intoxicating. So as we look, as we talk about the national mood, the impact of this national mood, Ava, how does it impact our personal lives? Let's discuss this a moment. Because I'm thinking listeners now are listening, and they're, and I'm wondering how people disengage from this, or how they stay connected to it. How much of this do you put in your mind and your body? So for instance, do you completely disengage your mind from this sort of thing? How does this national mood impact you? I'm talking you now, in your own personal life. Do you ever leave this cycle and think doom and gloom? Do you feel bad? Do you, are you able to put it in the category and just move on, or what? How do you do it?
I dip in and out of the news during the day. I don't have a steady diet of it. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by how my heartbeat and my everything, my respiration changes when I immerse myself in nature, which I do continuously. I live in a very remote place. So it's easy for me to put the computer down and walk out the door and go for a walk, or go for a hike or swim or bike ride or whatever. And I'm just immersing myself in another world. When I do that, and there have been studies about this, I can feel myself decompress, and I laugh more, and I'm just more in touch with, you know, the real world around me. So I think some of this news consumption, I've been reading some articles about that too. A constant steady diet of news can actually cause depression.
That's right.
And a constant steady diet of social media can do the same thing.
Right.
So you have to be aware of your feelings.
It sounds like you have found that balance, Ava, a little bit. I want to stay with you a moment as we talk about that, because I've also been reading the studies and the impact of our personal well-being. Because let's face it, Ava, if we don't have our health, if we don't have the lifestyle that we need in our lives, we have nothing. I mean, we've got nothing. The rest of this doesn't matter. I mean,
well, I look at it this way. When we're born, okay, we have a clock and it's ticking backwards. So you have to realize, you know, if you're lucky enough to be 80 years old when you do pass away, you know, that's a good long life, and it's ticking backwards the moment you're born. So you have to really make the most of every day. Find something that will be uplifting to you.
Ticking backwards, right?
It might be a song. It might be you know, you listen to music for a while, or you go for a walk, or you laugh with some other people. In person, by the way, that's another big uplifting thing to do. Just get funny over the news. I mean, some of this stuff is really ridiculous when you look at it on its face.
Well, it's entertainment. It's entertainment, David. That's
right.
What it becomes. I mean, they've
right.
made it that way with all of it here. And I wonder this as well now. And let me just different question, Jim. When we talk about the current environment that we're speaking about right now, that is highly toxic. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with that. It's really toxic. How does I'm wondering, does the current environment, does it help any of us in our lives? So in other words, what's the benefit of this environment? You know, government is supposed to be a means to an end. It's supposed to help improve our lives to some degree. There's no other purpose of government other than the national security, and to help improve those lives in some way, stay out of our lives would be the way to help us improve it, quite frankly, because we're very capable of living our lives. And as a constitutional conservative, I think I can say that confidently. But how does this current environment help you out in any aspect of your life? Is it more of a hindrance or is it a help?
It absolutely doesn't help. If you look at the numbers, you know, 10% is the rating on Congress for years now. That it is totally frustrating. Every morning you wake up and, as Ava said, it's the same thing over and over and over. And for my own well-being, I'll turn the news off for 2 days, and you come back and you haven't missed a beat. It's
exactly
it doesn't add anything to you, especially the national news. If you turn on maybe your local, I call it neighborhood or city channel, sometimes, especially I would think in the Midwest or smaller communities, you might get a good story about somebody saving someone's life, a kid falls in a swimming pool, something uplifting. But the national news is doom and gloom. No matter what it is, they seem to look for the sensationalism and the downside of every story, no matter what the silver lining may be that's hidden inside of it.
Yeah, they go out of their way to find the thunderstorms. They're not looking for the sun, Jim.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're looking for the thunderstorms and the negative part of it. And you're very right with that. It's got this just horrible negative overtone to it constantly. You know, I'm thinking about societally driven. It's all about this... I just call it murder, mayhem, and rape, and it's constant, the contrast of this in our lives. I got to figure, Arnetta, none of this is good for our health and well-being. I find between that and a lot of the other entertainment that people watch out there, which I've spoke about to listeners many times, I think it's very unhealthy. It's unhealthy for us. It's unhealthy for our kids. I think finding that balance in our lives, which Ava spoke to very well, is so important.
I am way off balance, but I'll tell you why. I've stepped out of my comfort zone because of, I feel there is a need for a movement in this country to unite it and to find a way to help save this country. I have a 36-year-old son who I fear for his future and the future of his children. So I've actually recognize that I am not taking care of myself because I've gotten more involved and stepped out and truly believe that one person can make a difference.
So let me just tell everybody now, this, I know you've never heard an opening like this ever in the history of this program, this show, A Viewpoint. And I recognize that very much. But the idea here, as Ava had just described as well, was to bring on, I wanted to bring on a few friends. Now, I've got a lot of great friends at America Out Loud, and we really could have brought on, I mean, there's so, I was just telling them coming on, I could start naming names, and you know a lot of the personalities here, and they're amazing people, beautiful people. Now, what makes these people all exceptional is that they are informed. They're not on the sidelines, people. They're in the game, and they're in the game to make that difference. Whatever it may be, they're not a bystander of life. Now, what we've got to do is reach the masses out there and the people to truly care and engage. But here's the thing I want to explore. It's not going to be through vitriol and hatred. And it's going to be more through understanding and love and compassion for a fellow man. And I see that just in everyday simple life. Simple compassion seems to be lost. It never escapes me on a day-to-day basis that if you can just be kind or helpful to a fellow man, there's something terrific about that. It's great, but you just don't see that out there anymore. I could give you an example play by play, but you get the point of what I'm speaking about now, I'm sure. So I think as we rev the news up here and talk about it, I think some of the stuff is over the top and insane. And I just want you to be able to delineate between the two, okay? That insane part of it as, again, political entertainment or politetainment here, as we'll call it maybe, you know, that's what it is, right? Politetainment. And what it's about. So let's do that now with Arnetta, Jim and Ava, and turn on the news cycle here with some things that I think are most informative, such as the deal that Mexico just made with Trump administration as far as the border goes, such as the trip coming back from abroad, as he just did, very successful trip, by the way, such as some of the lot of hateful comments back and forth between these two political parties. Clearly, nobody wins with that, by the way, and certainly the American people don't win. There's a lot of other interesting stories, such as this antitrust deal that Congress has taken up with some of the big tech companies that you use in your life right now, and you may not even be aware of this. And then free speech, where's that at as they tackle people like Julian Assange, very controversial topic, and a whole lot more. We'll do that next, friends, on Viewpoint.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. celebrate our 75th anniversary of Normandy in a really an amazing, amazing time. As you see, the last of our veterans and heroes, there's not many left from that just momentous time of our history. That was another pivotal time of history, by the way. If there ever was one, that was it. If Normandy had not happened in 1944, remember, if that hadn't come off as it had, if the sacrifice wasn't there. And that's why we honor our military and our heroes here every day here on this platform, because it never escapes us of what the beauty of America and why America stands right now at attention in the world. It's because of the sacrifice of tens of thousands of people that came before us, friends. So this is why we need to stand tall when the flag is raised or when we have that patriotism in our country. And for whatever your reasons are, it's why taking a knee is never a good idea when we're celebrating the finest of America, clearly, you know. So as the president comes back from that, we have this other thing brewing here with Mexico. Very, very edgy, very controversial story with the Mexican government, where the president took a position now of tariffs if we can't control the border. Now, we talked about this ad nauseum here, clearly. We understand they're trekking through thousands of miles of Mexican land from other countries far away, breaking all the rules of engagement. And clearly, I've questioned all along why Mexico isn't stopping these people. And so the president calls them out on it, uncharacteristically of any politician in Washington. And this is where the president does different things that really upsets the apple cart there, because they don't know what to make of it. And they're like, oh, my God, you can't do this, you know. And so he did it. He called them out. And he suggested, Ava, he come out and said, all right, listen, I'm going to charge tariffs if you don't start to take control of this thing. It'll be 5% initially, and it'll continue 5% upward until we get to 25% come fall time. And I'm going to hit you where it counts. Now, we do an enormous amount of trade with Mexico, and it's a very mutual relationship. Some people were highly offended by this, but the Mexican government had to get, you know, the rationale of this was very challenging. So now there seems to be a deal that has come forth with this, and it's very interesting. What do you think of, first of all, the deal that has happened with the tariffs that's playing out right now? Because we have come to a conclusion now, at least that's what the president has tweeted out. Do you feel we're onto something?
I think it's brilliant. The first thing I think is really brilliant about it is the fact that the people we have in detention here that are overflowing, we're putting those people back into Mexico to wait for their asylum claims to be heard. The other thing I think is very brilliant about this plan, it has a 90-day timeline on it. So Mexico has to prove within 90 days that they're going to actually act on these things that they promised. President Trump is a dealer, but I'll tell you what, when he's angry and he's insistent upon something, you can bet he's going to get results. And I thought it was quite interesting. I read a tweet from Mike Huckabee, and it said, we had 144,258 apprehensions in May at the southern border. And the troops invading France on D-Day, there were 156,000. So when you look at those two numbers, they're very close. This is our D-Day. It really is, in a sense. I mean, we're having another D-Day type thing happen here. And if we don't get our arms around it, you can see where we're going. So,
yeah, the word has gotten out there that America is a brand, which we've talked about before. We've discussed this on air with all of you about, you know, the huddled masses and the poor and the statue and that whole conversation, which we don't need to go there now. But we've had that conversation with you. That's how the politicians, the far left, have branded this thing to come in, which is really tearing the fabric of America apart. And it's the worst part about it is it's taken away from everyday Americans and their quality of life. And the dollars and cost of the impact of this to the nation is tremendous. And it's the lowest possible denominator is what's happening. And so like when Ava, when you say, well, we'll put you in line for asylum back to Mexico, that was a big deal. Let me read you what the president tweeted out here. He said, I am pleased to inform you that the United States of America has reached a signed agreement with Mexico, and the tariffs scheduled to be implemented by the U.S. on Monday against Mexico are hereby indefinitely suspended. Now, Mexico promises to deploy its National Guard throughout Mexico, particularly at the border, increase actions to dismantle human trafficking. This is crazy, people. To dismantle those operations, to smuggle individuals across the border and take extra steps to coordinate with the American government to share information and better protect and secure our common border. Now, Jim, that was the statement from the State Department, actually that last part of that. And basically they were sharing that, and like Ava said, it was a 90-day window where they seem, my guess is, I'm thinking here, I think Mexico got the memo. Now, Jim, you disagree with that, or do you think they're just playing games with us?
History would say they're playing games. They're stalling for time. And the failure of our Congress to do anything along this lines to back the president in any way, shape, or form weakens his position terribly. So we've gone through two presidents of Mexico under President Trump. Neither of them did anything substantial. I really doubt that anything will be coming here. They could be saying to themselves, well, maybe in 90 days they're going to have impeachment against Trump and he's going to be in a worse position. So let's go along with the game. I don't have a lot of faith in most of these foreign governments doing anything right now to help President Trump out, to help the United States. The hurt that we could put on Mexico with trade barriers would be enormous to them, little effect to us.
Yeah, well said. Arnetta, game changer. Jim's not quite so optimistic about it, maybe because he sees the history with Mexico. What do you think?
Well, I'm a little bit more optimistic than Jim, but not a lot. One of the things that I believe I've read recently that immediately following the talks in D.C., Mexico froze the suspicious banking accounts for the human trafficking aspect of, they've made a token effort to do something to show, well, look at us, we're going to do this. The issue is how fast can we return people to Mexico versus how fast can the cartel bust more in? So they might agree on something, but the cartels don't go by the law. And the second part of that is the more they hesitate and the longer it takes, speaking of Mexico, right. The more illegals that are already here get work permits. And if their asylum case is backed up to 2 years for the case to get before the court, there are illegals working in this country because we have to issue them a work permit, whether they do or not, but we have to issue them. And money's going back to Mexico. So the longer that Mexico can drag this out and the tariffs are not levied, the better off they are. I believe Mexico's does believe that President Trump will follow through, right. But they're buying time.
He definitely has laid down the gauntlet on that when Chucky Schumer came out and called him on it. He was like, and they've gone back and forth with the parade, back and forth of tweets. Chuck was being sarcastic, but that's what's happening now is we're doing all kinds of policy, both foreign and domestic, through tweets now. You've got everybody on there doing it. It's a two-sided coin, people. In a lot of interesting ways, it may be, I know it's unusual, but it could be healthy for the country, actually, that most of these conversations were behind smoky-filled closed rooms before doors, Maybe now that it's back in the public square, maybe that's a good thing, Ava.
I think this is a big deal. A lot of this stuff that you're seeing on Twitter,
we've never seen before.
That's right. You never knew how this sausage was made, and you're seeing it now.
How the sausage is made. That's a great way to say it, love. That's perfect. Any president worth their salt, people. I mean, I don't care if it's a Democrat, Republican, or independent, any Democrat worth their salt would have taken some sort of a measure. And that just becomes innovative, call it what you want, but innovative politics or innovative reasoning to be able to come up with another answer. And what he did is he looked and said, okay, we have, Mexico needs us. We need Mexico. It's a great trade partnership. We do more with them than we do with China. And Mexico needs that business really big time. And that's why they recognize this. So Trump hit them where it counted. That's how important this border and immigration business was and is. But the only reason he went there was because the adversaries are, they won't compromise anywhere, guys. They won't work with him.
He has one more thing. Well, he has several other tricks up his sleeve that he could use with Mexico. $50 billion gets a wire transferred to Mexico. $50 billion, okay? And that is the money that illegals make here, probably, I'm guessing. And think about putting a tariff on that. How about putting a tariff on that?
So all the money, you're talking about the money that's sent back home, which is part and parcel of what happens.
That is Mexico's largest source of income. Think about that for a second.
Okay? Nobody does think about it. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. No, I know. It's interesting you put it out there. No, and I've heard it before that way. There's no question. Yeah. All right. Let me change this up now, because there's a lot more I want to talk to you all about. Speaker Nancy Pelosi comes out and she tells, this is a big story now, she tells senior Democrats that she'd like to see President Donald Trump in prison. So Trump is having an interview with Laura Ingraham, okay? Laura asked a question out there about something about this story to Trump, and he comes out about Nancy Pelosi is what it was, and the comment of what she said that she wanted him in prison. Well, of course, that's what a journalist does. They want to get a great reaction from the president, right? You want to get a soundbite, because then that soundbite goes viral. Well, the soundbite that came out from Trump was, "I think she's a disgrace." That's what he started with. And he goes on to say, "I actually don't think she's a talented person. I've tried to be nice to her because I would have liked to gotten some deals done. She's incapable of doing deals. She's a nasty, vindictive, horrible person." Now, Jim, who really benefits by any of this? I mean, none of us benefit by this. So what does it really accomplish for America that this happens, Jim?
I think right now, given the times, it's all should be couched in terms of the 2020 election and the benefit that the Democrats are trying to find something they can run on. And the only thing they've latched onto is the thing they latched onto on November 9th, 2016 was defeat Trump in any way possible, resist him, don't cooperate. Both Schumer, who was the leader of the minority Senate for the Democrats, and Pelosi, who was destined then to become the next Speaker of the House in 2018, have reiterated this day in and day out. They have not moved an inch off of that position. And all they are working towards is a win in 2020. There is no other contribution to our country coming out of them. By all means, the media has endorsed their position. Basically, it's could be fatal to our society if it doesn't go for the conservative movement in 2020.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I got to say something to you. Now, let me tell you all something. The politically correct people of the Mitt Romney group, and I use his name because it just came to my mind, because he's so PC driven. He would never say anything close to that. His skin crawls when he hears something like that, which, of course, I chuckle with because I don't care for Romney or his politics, quite frankly. But here's the thing I want to say to you all. There's been, you know, there are a lot of conservatives who abandoned Trump up front. The National Review comes to my mind quickly. And there's a whole bunch of personalities around that that also abandoned Trump, who you're not hearing from a lot today, by the way, okay? I mean, a lot of them have gone away. They're quiet because Trump is having such successes. You don't hear those strong conservative voices anymore. They're silenced kind of thing. And I have to share with all of you, you know, Arnetta, if you take a look at conservatism and what it means, in as far as I think it's American pride and patriotism of who we are as a nation, I think it's all about our Constitution. I think it's about minimal government. I mean, it's really simple. I can give you the quick definition of what I see as conservatism, and I'm proud of that. I think that stands for what America is. That's what I consider the majesty of America, quite frankly. But I think the Republicans have done a bad job packaging that. I don't think they've been conservative. I think they've gotten involved in people's lives too much with social issues, which I've said for years now, this is going to be the death of them. And in a case of this, when you look at history and you look at any recent Republican presidents, quite frankly, or the Mitt Romneys of the world, for that matter, or any of that political class, I have to tell you straight out, I'll tell you all, and I'll argue this to the end of the program here, Trump is the most conservative president I've probably seen in my lifetime, Arnetta.
Malcolm, I agree. And I was sitting here thinking about what you were saying. Do you remember when he took office and Pelosi even was elected speaker? Remember how he kept saying, "I like Nancy, she's interesting, she's strong, she's smart." He was praising her and Schumer.
That's right.
And then it sort of, obviously, what good did that do him? And he reminds me of that old saying, the mouse that roared, because he's in the corner and being nice didn't get him anywhere. So he's striking back. And I think that's why the American public, they're okay with it. The people that elected him, his supporters, they may cringe from time to time. He definitely wasn't raised in the South, where you said, well, isn't that interesting, instead of telling the truth about what you felt about someone.
Exactly.
He doesn't have that filter. It is getting him the support. Politically correct? Absolutely not. But look at the strength he is building on the world stage. Look at the countries that are now feeling empowered because they see Trump standing strong against all odds.
Do you think that some of this also empowers those enemies? Back to these statements that are really out there, as you just suggested and talked about that, but doesn't that sort of, in an odd sort of way, Arnetta, empower some of the enemies to even become more hated and more, they come at Trump, they seem to come at him more and more when he does that?
It absolutely does. But then on the other hand, what can he do?
Well, how does that benefit the country? How does it benefit the country? Can you tell me that, please?
Well,
I'm just wondering.
If the country is informed and realizes what they're doing, they also know that regardless of what he does, he's not going to get approval.
Wait a minute now. Are you saying if the country's informed that she's nasty, vindictive, and horrible? Because we already know that. But what's your point?
They're informed with the fact that regardless of what he says, he can praise her. That doesn't do any good. He can call her names. You know, that inflames them. Absolutely, it inflames them.
But what if he didn't make those comments back? Now, Ava, let me switch over, get Ava, you to chime in here. What if he didn't make those comments back? And what if he stayed and let her have the egg on her face last? And he just came back from a successful trip. And I heard commentators and pundits talking about this specifically. But what if he had done that, Ava? What does that help the country better? I mean, did this, the way it came down, I mean, straightforward question. Did this help the country that he called the Speaker of the House a nasty, vindictive, horrible person?
I think it actually emboldened the people who are following Trump, and it also emboldened the people who are sitting on the fence about Trump, because it showed him he's not Mitt Romney. That it's perfect the way you set this up. He is not Mitt Romney.
Thank God.
He's the anti Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. The guy you want for president is probably Mike Huckabee, because Mike Huckabee probably wouldn't have said anything back, although he's coming alive lately.
He is lately. He plays softball, though. He don't play hardball.
I love Mike Huckabee.
I really do too.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
But I'm also a big fan of President Trump, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. He's not a politician.
That's right.
He's a business guy. He's a dude from Queens, okay?
Right. Right.
He's a builder. He's a mover. He's a shaker. He's a deal maker.
Well, sure, and I accept everything you just said for face value. The only thing I would throw back at you is this, Miss Armstrong, and that is that anything we just talked about does not unite the country. If you look at, you just said it emboldened. The word you used was embolden. It emboldened his core, and it emboldened his adversaries. Now, let me tell you something. When you embolden those factions that we're speaking about right now, you now are putting you're putting the country on steroids. You're putting the argument on steroids, and it will not unite the country, Ava Armstrong.
No, I don't think this country has ever been united right from its very conception. And that's where I think if you have that as a endpoint, you'll always be disappointed.
You know what? I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And the only time we sort of kissed and made up and pretend we like each other is 9/11 or at the end of a war where we think we accomplished, you know, but it's very brief. It's very, very brief, you know.
Very brief.
Stay right there. We'll be back in a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Pat Boone here for the folks at Swiss America. Rock solid foundations are vital in life, in business, and in finance, because in the end, only what we've built on a firm foundation will withstand the storms of life. Today, the economic storms are raging and the foundations of everything are being tested. The world economy has never looked shakier. And gold, the world's oldest and most trusted form of money, is also grabbing headlines. Now is the time to put your future on a rock-solid foundation. Swiss America will help you create an indestructible asset today. Discover the timeless truth about gold and silver by calling Swiss America or visiting online at SwissAmerica.com.
800-978-3901. Once again, that's 800-978-3901.
Okay, so this one is interesting. I think everybody would agree that Google has a lot of power. I mean, they are, you got to remember, Google runs the whole search empire, really. Most people say, they don't even say, I want to go search for something. They say, I want to go Google something, you know? That's a normal, that's like a Band-Aid. It's become the Band-Aid brand of that industry. Tissue, like, you know, Kleenex, right? It's the same thing. It's Google it. You know, you got to go get a Kleenex, go get a Band-Aid. Those are all brand names that they were kind of first in, and they own those groups now. And that's kind of interesting when that happens. So we've seen the rise of big tech now, and these corporate titans, really, I'd call them, that these companies didn't exist 30 years ago, people. You got to remember, now they're ruling the planet here. And specifically, they're being referred to in this particular conversation, Amazon, Google, and Facebook. Now, there's possible antitrust investigations coming out against Google, and should they be broken up? And this is being looked at from the Department of Justice and the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, shares the antitrust authority with the department, and they're conducting a broad investigation, if you will, of this. I guess my question to go around the boardroom here with all three of you is this. Is it time to break Google up? Is it time? Arnetta, start with you on that, please. Is it time to break them up? Do they have too much power?
I think they do have too much power. And I normally would say, no, don't break them up, because that's, you know, their private company. It has to be equal. It can't be one-sided where it's against the conservatives or against some other entity. It has to be fair. And if it's not fair, then it needs to be regulated or broken up.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it in simple terms. And Ava, I mean, what do you say to that? Is it fair? I mean, you pick up on Arnetta, what she says. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in the same school. I'm a constitutional conservative, and normally I would not say this, but I do believe Google needs to be broken up. And this is why. They're the seat of incredible power. All schools require kids to make a Gmail account, okay? And they have to do all their homework on Google. Now, you think about the data mining that goes on right there.
That's right. And they're doing an incredible amount of data mining. These people are unreal. Every facet of our lives, Jim, is being data mined from the moment we're born in the hospital to, you know, what we are and who we are. I mean, that's kind of the future of the world now. As AI comes in, we're all going to be under a microscope. That's where we're headed. What do you think of this with Google specifically and then some of these others, Jim?
Google is the most dangerous because it's an influencer. It has the ability to sway people's opinions. Amazon's different. Amazon is a marketing company that, as any marketing does, he who pays for the advertising gets the best spot mm-hmm. on the table or on TV or on the radio.
Yeah.
Another very dangerous company that we don't talk about is Comcast. Comcast is a vertically integrated media giant that controls advertising, movies, radio stations, print media, and such. And another one that when you look at a company that was broken up in the 70s was AT&T when they controlled the Bell system. And today, AT&T is bigger than they ever were 50 years ago. They control a tremendous amount of media. They bought Time Warner for, what, $80 billion or more, I think it was. And now they control a vast empire of communications. And if you look at what goes out over the airways, tremendous influence that. So we talk about social media, but still most people, a lot of the public gets their news on television, they get it on radio, they get a lot of it on social media. But those companies are very, very dangerous, and yet they get to skate because I think they carry mainly the liberal media message.
It's very interesting if the time has come to break this up. I think everybody here believes that Google is too empowered and they should be, something should happen, right? I mean, everyone agrees mm-hmm. with that?
Yeah. Yes.
Across the board, right. So I think, what do you think out there about that? Let me tell you what, I also want to give you my personal email address for you to have. And this is just for my program and for me. We have one for the whole network, but this is liberty@americaoutloud.com. So on my programs, if you want to talk to me or the producers, Ava, Jim, or Arnetta, you can use that email address, liberty@americaoutloud.com. And I'd love to hear what you're thinking as well. I'll put it out on social media as well, friends. But that is the question there. I think many of you, do you agree with that? That Google is too big and something should happen. They're obviously not using it as a fair fight. That's the bigger problem, people. It's not a fair fight. So anyways, having said that, let me move it along, and I want to talk to you about free speech, and I want to let's nail this down here. Now, follow me on this, please, so you don't get lost on this one here. And the question I pose to you is, does the indictment of Julian Assange violate our constitutional free speech? So let me try to lay out an argument here I've seen that I think is very interesting, and it's this. Madison knew that when he wrote, "Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press," he and the ratifiers meant no law. As direct and unambiguous as those words are, the Constitution, as amended, is the supreme law of the land. Well, many of us think it is, people, but that's not. People, our politicians and Congress and courts are not being faithful to the Constitution is the problem, I would suggest back to you all out there. And that's a fact. That's what's happening. And that's where you start to tear at the fabric of our country, of our great nation here. So this argument goes on. And what I want to bring you to is to a head here. There's been a series of Supreme Court decisions that instructed that this Espionage Act, which goes back to the Wilson days, goes back to Woodrow Wilson days, the Espionage Act of 1917, if you will. But these series of Supreme Court decisions instructed that this Espionage Act is probably unconstitutional, as its sole purpose and effect is to suppress speech. These opinions harkened back to Madison, who believed that the only moral and constitutional remedy for hateful or harmful or even seditious speech was not suppression and punishment, but rather more speech. Interesting. Make that, that's an interesting statement there. Now, so I find this really, really interesting. And this attitude has been prevailing generally in the legal and judicial communities for really a long time, certainly since World War II, through multiple generations. Now, the Trump Department of Justice has just indicted a non-American whose alleged crimes took place in Europe, now keep in mind, okay, for numerous violations of this Espionage Act. This is interesting now. And they've done so in direct defiance of the Supreme Court decision, if you think about it, is the argument put forth here. I find this fascinating. So this Julian Assange, he's a radical and orthodox publisher of what many would say is truthful information. This is not so much his, but it's other information that exposed the hypocrisy of government. And his entity for exposure is WikiLeaks. We all know WikiLeaks. It's a brand everybody knows. That's the website that received the stolen data, and he put the truth out there. Now, this landmark decision, remember the landmark decision that was the Pentagon Papers case? The Supreme Court ruled that a publisher may reveal whatever materials come into a publisher's possession. Now, that's the argument right there, no matter how they got there. So as long as materials themselves are, to the public interest. Now, Assange is protected by the values underlying the no law language, they say here is the argument. The whole purpose of the First Amendment, numerous courts have written, is to promote and provoke open, wide, robust political debate. Okay, so who's the most passionate about this topic? Ava, Jim, Arnetta, who's got the first sound on this?
Because what you just read is a publisher wouldn't be prosecuted by the fact that these, and had the right to publish things that came into their hands. Well, I believe Assange helped hack the computers for national security. Documents just didn't get put into his hands and then he published them. He actually helped the hacking, or let's put it another way, he helped break into the house. He didn't just stand on the porch and was handed the document. He was in the house stealing them.
Interesting. So you're saying you're different because of that. You're saying that he had a hand in this thing, you're saying.
That's correct. I do not argue the fact that if he was handed the papers and he published them, that is free speech and his right.
Okay, but let me bridge that now over to Jim. Jim, pick that up where Arnetta is, please. What do you think?
Okay, first of all, the files that they obtained were on an illegal private server. It was not a government entity that they got the emails from. So that's a whole fallacious argument that the Democrats keep making that.
But Jim, I'm speaking of the. I'm speaking the Manning's hack into the Department of Defense, the computers of the government, not Hillary's or the DNC.
Okay. Well, in that, yeah. if they're looking at that, that's a somewhat of a different story. Five times in our history as a country, we've had a sedition act that was targeted at during war times at preventing people from doing this. The First Amendment basically is protection again of the people and their ability to speak against the government. It is not the broad free speech that's been interpreted to be. It was very focused when the framers put that together. It was to allow people to comment against wrongs or things the government was doing. So in essence, he could be covered by the true definition of free speech from the constitutional standpoint. The whether he attained it illegally or not is the big issue that they're trying to press.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the question that Arnetta throws out there as well. Ava, I need you to rule in this case, Judge Armstrong. Go ahead.
I would say unless they could prove that Assange hacked anything, mm-hmm. and there are ways to prove these things, mm-hmm. but unless they could, I think he's going to skate on this. I really do.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be free speech.
Our society, and it's a great segue to talk about this next story. Our society is being, we're changing in front of our eyes in big ways that we don't even realize it sometimes of what's happening out there and what's happening in society. There's a shift, a societal shift that's taking place. This next story I find very interesting for a lot of reasons. And it is in Boston. And they are planning or trying to plan a straight pride parade. So you've heard of the gay pride parades. Obviously, we've all heard of those. They've been in all kinds of cities and what have you. And let me read this to you here, this setup, please. One of the changes in our society following the embracing of homosexuality is the dramatic increase of transgenderism. And I want to touch, I want to interrupt right there. I want to talk to you about transgenderism a moment here because I've seen some really startling facts here. The numbers of transgender children increasing exponentially. I was not aware of this, people, but The Atlantic just did a story on it. And but in a 10-year period between 06 and 16, the number of transgender adults in the United States doubled. And listen to this, more than that, about 150,000 teenagers ages 13 to 17 identified as trans, and the number of young people seeking clinical services appears to be growing as well. A major clinic saw a more than 300% increase in new referrals, and numbers, although they're sometimes challenging to find, one gender clinic reported a 4,000% increase in children seeking treatment in the last 10 years. Those numbers alone should make you understand that we have a wild shift happening in society right now, back to that transgenderism, and it's all coming from they're eating the cornflakes is what's happening, and they're listening to this thing that's out there, and with this generation, the young people are it's not good what's taking place here. So this story goes on to say, join us. Boston officials are saying to join us a group claiming they will hold a straight pride parade in the city this summer. Has actually started to go viral. And it's all started with a group of men that call themselves the Super Happy Fun America. That's the group, guys. Super Happy Fun America. That sounds like a good group, actually, right?
Yeah.
Ava, let me go to you and speak about this. Yeah, what do you think of the Straight Pride Parade, and what do you think of the story?
Whatever happened to Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
That's gone.
That was my favorite law ever. I think this will be interesting to watch. I think the trans thing for kids that's going on between the ages of 13 and 17 is alarming. Look at who the parents are that are bringing their children to these so-called doctors, okay? And having their children put on, regimens of estrogen or testosterone or whatever to change them into another gender. I really doubt that any child at the age of 13 or 14 really knows a lot about that. So I would be very reluctant to do that as a parent. But these parents that are doing this have bought, they're drinking the Kool-Aid, they've bought the story that if your child has a feeling or a thought mm-hmm. you know, then they need to be rushed in and, you know, given estrogen or whatever. I mean, it's like, this doesn't even make sense to me.
Jim, where's this all going in society? Why are they having this feeling? Why are, as Ava's pointing out, a lot of the parents and a lot of the people are thinking in this terms, and the kids in treatment is astronomical, what's happening out there. What's happening?
I think we have a tremendous breakdown both in traditional families and religious values, and the family unit is gone in America. I mean, I know people that have kids, and the kids have like six sets of parents. I don't know how they get that many, but they do, and they're totally confused. They don't attend church. They don't have a basic fundamental knowledge of the history of our country. All being driven by this movement towards socialism, which again, I mean, you look at millennials, how many millennials, and even younger, the non-voting millennials, are endorsing socialism because they want somebody to take care of them.
That's right.
Their parents are not taking care of them.
Yeah, there's a shift happening. There's a shift in society, Jim, that's happening that is very odd. You're right to connect it with socialism. And in fact, you're right. A lot of the young people are the same people you're speaking about, Jim, right?
Mm-hmm, are, exactly.
You know, yeah. And like Ava says, well, what happened to that, you know, don't tell policy. So that's long gone, Ava. That went long far away here. Arnetta, let's give you the last word on this story here, this straight pride parade. What do you think of that? Would you attend that?
Absolutely. I'd probably be marching right down the middle of it.
All right, love. Well, that says plenty. So you support that, huh?
You know, it's about time. And I'll speak out. I have a dear friend who told me for years, he was a white middle-class man, middle-aged middle-class man, and he said he had been totally disenfranchised. And I didn't believe him. Mm-hmm. Poor guy, I owe him an apology. But
Yeah. If we're going to preserve this society of what it was known for, who we are. Now, it's not to say somebody can't live the life the way they wish to. That's not the argument here at all. So don't misinterpret the words here. The words are one should live their life. But as Ava had pointed out, you know, don't kiss, don't tell, you know, shut up and move along, please. You know, don't stand on the checkup line and hold up the whole line for your BS at the cashier, please. Right. That's all simple said. Right. I mean, come on, move on. And so live your life the way you wish to live it. But don't tell me about all your garbage and gossip. I don't want to hear what you're doing in your life and your private life. It's your business. And don't expect me to approve or assess that. That's not my opinion, and I don't want to hear it. And that's the problem with society today. Everybody feels they got to take the bedroom out into the front, into the public square. And, oh, let me tell you what I did, you know. And, like, everybody's supposed to care about this somehow. I'd rather lift thy fellow man, whoever that is, and I'd rather lift society up in the process. That's where Malcolm comes from. That's my opinion, and that's where I prefer to have my place in all of this. And so that's where I'm gonna, and I'm gonna look at that American flag blown in the wind the way it should be, friends. And we're gonna continue to push that agenda here of just God-loving, decent Americans, and embracing this Constitution and all that it is, and live your life the way you wish to live it. Just don't hold up the cashier line, people, because I'll push you in the ass to move forward, please. On that note here, thank you for joining us for a very special viewpoint here, friends. And it's time to get involved and get loud.